So today, as I said, we're 14 days into this gospel reading, this gospeling forward. And so hopefully it's been helpful for you. I know it has been helpful for me to read it. I've read through the gospel quite a bit, different times in different ways. But reading them this way has shown me quite a bit more. And hopefully it's shown you different things. And so we're just about halfway through the Gospel of Matthew. And last week, we declared that the true king, we focused on this birth story that we usually only talk about during Christmas, that the true king has arrived. The Gospel of Matthew is very clear. And whether it was then or now, he will upset everyone's kingdom. So this baby is born into this world, the king of the Jews, and he upsets every kingdom that tries to hold on to authority and power and lift their agenda, their will, above the will of God. And so Jesus has already upset, by this point, enough religious leaders and the kingdoms they've built that they're plotting to kill him. So we're only 14 chapters in, and already Jesus is a target of the religious leaders. They're trying to figure out how to get rid of him. And the wake-up call has been reminding us that Jesus has come to do a couple things. And if you've been listening with the wake-up call, you know that J.D. Walt, who's been sharing, has said that Jesus has come to do three things. He's come preaching, he's come teaching, and he's come healing. Preaching that the kingdom of God is here, that it has come. That he's been teaching many lessons, all to point to one message, to seek first this kingdom that is here and still coming. And he's been healing. He's been showing that salvation is transformational, that he's been going to the people of greatest need, those that seek him out or those that are oppressed or on the outside of community, and he's been offering healing. That there's a change that happens that could not happen any other way. And we see this in the life of Jesus. And we remember in our series, just a little while ago, we went through the book of 1 John. We talked about how the world tells us that having is who he is, that we just believe and behave, right? That we believe that Jesus is who he is, and then we just try and behave as best we can, right? That there's this idea that we're powerless to change the things within us, that we just need to regulate our brokenness. This is what the world tells us. Try harder. Do better, pray more, and that's how you kind of fix yourself. But instead, Jesus calls us to a faith where we behold the Son of God, we become more and more like him. That by allowing our lives to be a lens, which Jesus acts and moves, we become more and more like the person of Jesus. That God is love. John uses that a lot. God is love and God is light, but we have to remember that we are not. That I can't produce enough light to shine into the darkest places. It's God working through me. It's God working through you. And so in these chapters, Jesus sends out his followers to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and drive out demons, right? Just in this week of reading, again, so much has happened. He's calmed the storm. He brings a girl back from the dead. He gives sight to the blind. He gives voice to the mute. He talks about what is to come. And he shares that wisdom of the kingdom is hidden from the wise and revealed to the children as he begins to teach in parables. And so I thought it would be a great thing for the kids to stay in today. We have some cool things for them. But this idea that Jesus himself says that wisdom is hidden from the wise, but it's revealed to the children. It's revealed to those that seek him with this curiosity, that seek him with this wonder. And so today we look at the shortest two parables in this vast teaching on wisdom. And so if you're following along, we're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and 46. And I'm reading the NIV. You may have a different translation, but this is what Jesus says as he begins to teach in parables. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we ask that today, as we read your word, as we seek your kingdom first, that you would give us wisdom, that you would speak to us in powerful ways through this parable, that your scriptures would bring life to this world, that would bring hope in hopeless places, that would bring light in darkness. And so, God, we thank you for all these things. We just ask that you would give us wisdom. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so, like I said, we have the kids here today to help us with a few things. And so let me kind of set up what we're going to be doing. And our kids are here, and they're going to help us kind of picture maybe what we think in this particular story, in these parables. And as a kid growing up on the east coast of Florida, I had the joy, I didn't know it as a little kid, but I had the joy of growing up kind of in between the space coast, right, where I got to see rockets launch all the time, where I got to experience space travel and astronauts and all the kind of excitement that comes along with that. And just a little bit further south of me was the Treasure Coast. And treasure hunting was something all around me that that shipwrecks off the coast have these vast treasures that were hidden. And I remember as a kid, people talking about they would be combing the beaches after a big storm. Maybe you've experienced this if you're from Florida, that a hurricane would come through and all of a sudden the beaches would be filled with people with shovels and scoops and metal detectors trying to find that maybe the storm had stirred up something that was lost. That we were seeking this wealth, this treasure beyond measure as these storms kind of churned and pushed things around in our oceans. And there was a man, and if you grew up here, maybe you'll know this just by this catchphrase. There was a man, and his catchphrase was this: today is the day. Everybody say it. Today is the day. And he would say it boldly that today is the day. And for him, today is the day meant this. His name was Mel Fisher. Maybe you've seen Mel. Maybe you've experienced this. He has this a great museum down in Sebastian. When I was a little kid, you could go there and actually hold gold bars that he found. I mean, kind of crazy stuff. But he would always say, today is the day. He was searching for these great treasures, and he would give up everything to go and find what was lost. And he would find shipwrecks after shipwrecks. In fact, even at great costs, he actually lost his son and his son's family. Drowned. Their boat was capsized, kind of searching for treasure, but he pushed on because he said, today is the day. And here's kind of a throwback, a 90s throwback. There's little Louie with his time period accurate bowl haircut, and that's my sister Jessica, and this is actually one of Mel's sons. So he is showing us right here actually a cannon that they've pulled up out of the water. You could go there and you could see them kind of clean and take care of things. And so he's showing us that in all of our 90s glory, treasure that's been found. And it was kind of this amazing experience as a kid to know that something that was lost for so long had been found. And Mel Fisher became famous for finding the 1715 fleet of Spanish ships that sunk off in the Atlantic, which is very close to where I grew up. And so he found these ships. It was this massive, it's the most gold coins ever found in any shipwreck to date. The most gold coins ever found in this fleet of ships that sank just off the coast of Florida. And he had this museum, like I said, where you could go, you could hold on to, he would let us hold these gold bars that had been at the bottom of the ocean for years. He showed us china and silver and jewelry, all kinds of stuff. And he ended up finding the Atocha. Maybe you're familiar with this. It was a treasure ship of King Philip's Tierra Firma fleet. And it sank September, this month, in 1622, near the Florida Keys. He searched high and low. He actually found it. And before he found any treasure, I want to tell you, he looked ridiculous. He was in the paper all the time shouting this phrase, today is the day. And people are like, I thought you said that yesterday, right? But he looked ridiculous. But he's on a mission, and it looked like he was on a mission that didn't have a point, that he was searching for something that didn't exist. But once he found the treasure, all that looked ridiculous became wise. It was this shift. Then he became the person in the paper who wore crown jewels, who carried gold chains, who talked about the history and the influence of what he had found, and people saw him as someone who was wise. He said, today is the day, and the day he found it, what was foolish became wise. And so here we have these two stories. And so I'll invite the kids up. Someone has let me borrow this just to show you. And so I'm going to invite all the kids up. This is actually a coin from the Atocha. So you can come up. I'm going to show it to you. We have real pirate treasure here today. And so come on up. Anybody have greasy hands, Cheeto fingers, anything? No? Okay. So here's a coin from the Atocha. You can hold it. So that coin is 400 years old. Do you see that? 400 years ago, someone stamped that silver coin.
Even though it's so small, it has a little bit of heft to it.
It has a little bit of heft to it, and it sat at the bottom of the ocean until someone found it.
Who found it?
Mel Fisher, the treasure hunter. And so this piece of history, this treasure, laid at the bottom of the ocean. And you guys are welcome to come up afterwards and see it. Just don't bolt for the door. I got to return it. But it is a piece of actual treasure. And so here's what I'd like you all to do today, if you could help me, okay? So right here, we have some trays and some clay. And so Miss Melissa is going to open the clay. And what I want you to do as we're talking today, I want you to make the greatest treasure you could ever think of with your clay. And then I'm going to invite, okay, so use your clay, take it, you can mold it, you can make it into whatever you want, and then I'm going to invite you up to show us what you think the greatest treasure ever looks like. And so they're going to do that and help us as we talk about this idea of hunting treasure. This thing that when we seek it, we seem foolish, but when we find it, we seem wise. And again, Mel Fisher was this crazy person for quite some time. He was someone that sought after this treasure that no one thought existed. And the moment he found it, he became wise. And Jesus tells this parable. He tells us these two parables trying to reveal something that's hidden. The Gospel of Matthew is about hidden things being revealed. And the first is about a person who stumbles on a great treasure. He wasn't even looking for it. He goes into a field and he finds the greatest treasure unknowingly. And he realizes that what he found is amazing, and he hides it again. And he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field which holds this hidden treasure. And so I want to ask you the question, can you imagine if you knew this person? Could you imagine if you knew this person, all of a sudden they came home after finding a hidden treasure, and they're willing to part with everything in their life. They begin to sell everything. And you ask, why? And they can't give you a reason. They're afraid to tell you that there's a hidden treasure because they're afraid somebody may take it. It's not theirs yet. They don't want it stolen. And so before they can pay for it, they tell no one. This first person looks ridiculous for those who have no idea about the treasure. The same is true of the second person, and this is a little bit different story because this person is looking for treasure, that their eyes are open, they're searching, and they want to find this pearl, this perfect pearl. They find a pearl of great value, one that surpasses all value of everything that they own, and they sell everything in order to own just that. He's an expert in what was fine pearls, and finds the one that outshines all things. And again, is willing to sell everything, to go back to their shop, to sell all that they belong. Maybe they had employees. They're asking the question, why are we selling everything? Why is there a fire sale in your shop today? And they can't quite give an answer. This value outshines anything and everything they've ever found. As someone who searches, They know it's got a great value, one that surpasses all things. And they're willing to sacrifice a lifetime of riches for this one pearl. Now, hidden in this parable, or these parables, are things for our life. Jesus is teaching things about wisdom. He's teaching things about the kingdom of God. He's teaching things about how we're created to be and live, what we're created to do, how we're created to carry out this work in the kingdom in relationship with what God is doing. And he's revealing that the kingdom of God is worth giving up everything. We can read this. It's very simple. He gets right to the point. In your life, in my life, if the treasure is real, if the kingdom of God is here and now, we have to understand that those who know nothing of it will see what we do as ridiculous. And so we ask these questions. We look at this and we say, you can fill in the blank with the world's response. You can fill in the blank with things that we do. You can look at this and say, you give your hard-earned money to a church? That's ridiculous. You waste a whole Sunday being a part of a congregation? You spend your time with hypocrites? It's ridiculous. You let this old book, this outdated moral system, rule your life? That's ridiculous. And the world is in chaos. You pray, you love, you forgive. The world responds, that's ridiculous. They don't know of this treasure. And it's important for us to remember that Jesus is time and time again telling us that that we don't give up anything when we understand what we gain. We don't really give up anything. There's nothing of value when we realize what we gain through his kingdom. And so we ask the question, how foolish will we be? There's a man, and maybe you've heard this story, he felt called to be a missionary, to go out and share the gospel in these places that had never heard it, to go to places where people had not experienced an outsider, where they didn't understand the good news at all because it hadn't reached them yet. And it led him to this really reclusive tribe in Ecuador called the Huarani. And they struggled to find this group. They were very good at hiding, of getting around without being seen. And so they came up with this idea. They would fly their plane for weeks over where they thought they were, and they would drop gifts. And they thought, for sure, we would drop these simple gifts out of a plane. It would show this community, it would show these people that we mean no harm, that we come in peace, that we're bringing a goodness to their community, and eventually we'd be able to make contact. And so for weeks they would fly over, they would drop these little boxes of different things, of food, of tools, of different resources to kind of build a bridge. And finally, after feeling like they really didn't make a dent in this movement, they said, we're going to set out into the wilderness. We're going to try and find these people. So a small group went out to try and meet them face to face. And as they encountered this tribe attacked and killed Jim Elliot, who was leading this mission, and his four companions. They were speared to death as they made contact with this tribe. Some would say that this is a ridiculous act of foolishness that cost him and others their lives. And later his journals found, maybe you're familiar with the story of Jim Elliot, but the world would quote this out of his journal over and over and over again, these powerful words that he wrote down. He said this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, the things of this world, the treasures that we collect, even our own lives, to gain that which he cannot lose, our salvation, this treasure that we have in the kingdom of God. And again, if you follow this story, this great missionary, he's changed the world in many ways. There's a powerful peace that this story leads to, that shortly after he was killed by this tribe, his wife, Elizabeth, and their small baby, two-year-old baby, little daughter, they moved into the Huarani village. And they lived among the people that had killed Jim. And her response of peace, of love, of forgiveness to the Warani people transformed them, and they became followers of Christ. This is a powerful story of redemption. It's a story of things that could not happen any other way than the wisdom of the kingdom of God. What the world sees as foolishness is wisdom beyond this life. That this treasure that we know, that we seek, that we find, is worth giving up all things. The encounter with the treasure of great value causes disruption in our daily lives, in your life, in my life, in my priorities, in your priorities, that change over time as we encounter something of much greater value, something that we're willing to give up all other things in order to find, to have, to possess. We're willing to sacrifice, to set aside everything to have it. And so this is a powerful picture of what it means to pursue this treasure, this powerful thing that Jesus lifts up in these short verses, this hidden treasure, this pearl of great value. And so just here in a second, we're going to invite the kids up to share their treasures. And so get ready. I know I've seen a lot of activity over here, so I'm excited to see what we've created. But in just a second, we're gonna see what they've created as their greatest treasure. And the parables teach us many things. And so why don't you guys come on up here and you can tell me. If you want to tell me, you can. But we're going to show people what our treasures are. As we've been reading through this parable, as we've been talking about this idea of a hidden treasure or a pearl of great value, what do you guys think of a treasure? And so who would like to go first? Very busy. Okay, sorry. I'll come to you. All right, I'll come to you. You don't want to go first? All right. Oh, my goodness. Not ready yet? Anybody ready? Okay. All right. Louie, what you got? Louie has made a golden chain. All right. You show that off? That's pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie. There you go. A golden chain. Mel Fisher would be proud. Bradley, what do you got? A golden chain? All right, let's see. I'm glad nobody made a grill, because I don't think this stuff would taste good. So we got another golden chain. All right, what about here, girls? What do we got? You want to go last? Yoletta, what do you got? Red hearts. The greatest treasure is a heart. I love that. Yes. Extra points. Okay.
I think so, but that's okay.
What do we got here? Ruby Kate?
We ran out of time.
Oh, man. What were you trying to make?
Tell us what you're
trying. Yeah, what were you trying to make?
And then we'll make it.
A heart like Caroline's.
Everybody copied mine.
Oh, I love it. Let's see, can you hold it? Can you show everybody? A heart? Greatest treasure is a heart?
The greatest treasure isn't a gold chain. It's love.
It's love. It's not a gold chain. It's love. Yes. Extra points for you. All right, Sophia, you ready? What did you make?
A baby Jesus.
A baby Jesus. Oh, man, with the trump card. I got it. All right. Love it. Well, when we think about treasure, we think of things that sometimes we can touch, like a gold chain. We think of things that that maybe are tangible in our world. Maybe like Mel Fisher, we think of that hidden treasure, that sunken ship, the wealth beyond measure. But I want to tell you that Jesus teaches in parables for a reason. One of those reasons is that a parable can mean many things. That as we read it over and over and over again, God can speak through the scriptures. He can speak through the stories. He can speak through the parables. What seems really simple can hold so much meaning. And there's always a chance that I've missed the point. And so you should know this. Hopefully you know this about me. There's always a chance that I get it wrong, which is why we have to read the Bible for ourselves. That you shouldn't depend on me, that you should read the words for yourself. Sunday morning is not sufficient to build a disciple, that we have to live our faith each and every day. We're not consumers, we're contributors, that we live this out, that as we read together. My friend Ben Connolly says this, which hurt my feelings the first time and now gives me comfort. He said, pastors are imperfect communicators of God's perfect word. That I don't always get it right, that I don't always understand it, that when we gather together, we read God's word together, we can find what God is teaching each and every one of us. That maybe we share a new meaning, a new insight. And the parables have this powerful way of showing us something that we didn't see before. And so I have maybe a different idea, and I want to share it first with our kids. And so I want to invite you to come up here. Come on up here. And I have in this wonderful treasure chest what I think Jesus may be talking about. Okay? And so, Sophia, you can come first. Why don't you line up right here? And Sophia, you can come around. All right? But I want to tell you, it's a secret. So don't say what it is. Okay? It's a secret. Don't tell anybody else. And once you see it, you can go back to your seat. Okay? So here's what I think maybe the treasure really is. Okay? Are you ready? All right, don't look back up. Are you ready? Okay, take a look. What do you think? What do you think? Okay. All right, Caroline, what do you think? You ready? This is what I think the treasure is. Here, gold chain. Do you see that? Oh, man, there could be anything in here. Gold chains. It could be a puppy. I should have. Hopefully it's got air holes. All right, you ready? Do you see what it is? All right, you let it come here. What do you think? This is what I think the treasure is. Don't let it jump out at you. What do you think? All right, Bradley. Don't get scared, man. All right, be brave. You ready? All right, Louie. Okay, it's pretty calm. It may jump out, but just don't move, okay? What do you think? So we have this secret, this secret treasure, this treasure hidden in a field, and we ask the question, what if Jesus' treasure that he's talking about is something totally different? Is he searching for this buried treasure, this pearl of great value? We ask the question. I'm going to show you all, now that our kids know what the treasure might be, I'm going to share with you all what I think the treasure could be as well. And it sounds cheesy, but what if the treasure is us? What if Jesus is teaching us a parable about the power of the kingdom of God in finding what Jesus thinks has the greatest value? You and I. That the treasure is not something that we can find, but yet it's a picture of what Jesus thinks about creation. It's a foretelling of what he is going to do in the world for all of creation, that he is going to seek and save the lost. And so we ask the question in this parable, what if the treasure is us? What if we are the treasure of great value? And if we're the treasure, hear this, if we're the treasure, how foolish do we look when we view ourselves or anyone around us with anything but great value? This is the message that Jesus reveals over and over and over again, that in his creation, all of us have great value. And so how foolish do we look when we look at ourselves, we doubt, we tear ourselves down, we think that we're less than, not valuable enough, or we look at our neighbor who maybe we disagree with and we think less of them. How ridiculous that is in the kingdom. The power of the gospel is that both can be true, that the kingdom of God is worth giving up everything for. Looking foolish as we live, the way we treat others, the way we have peace beyond the chaos of our world, because the King over all creation gave everything up for you and me through the foolishness of the cross. And so when people say you waste your resources giving to the church, that's ridiculous. When they say you waste your time attending services with people that are hypocrites, that mess up, that do horrible things and yet call themselves a Christian, that's ridiculous. You let this old book rule your life? It's foolish. And when the world is in chaos, you pray, you forgive, you love? That is ridiculous. But here's the truth. We don't really give up anything in this world when we understand what we gain in the kingdom of God. Jim Elliot, who gave his life to share the good news of Jesus, wrote this. He says, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep. The things of this world, the gold chains, the possessions, even our own lives, to gain that which he cannot lose. As we find the kingdom of God, this salvation that anchors us in something greater than the world around us. And so I want for us to say this together, these powerful statements about these two parables. And I want the kids to help lead us, and so they can stop building whatever they're building right now. But I want you all to help me. So I want you to say it loud, okay? The words are going to be up on the screen. I'm going to tell you. Here are the two things, okay, that I want us to say together. The first one is this. The kingdom of God is worth giving up everything. And the second is, we are his treasure. And so can we say that? The first one? On three. One, two, three. The kingdom of God is worth giving up everything, and we are his treasure. This is the power of the parables. This is the power that changes the world around us. This is the power of the Gospel of Matthew. While we're spending 89 days of our life, it's ridiculous, reading a chapter a day of the good news. This is the truth that carries us into this week. This is wisdom hidden from the wise, but revealed to the children who seek him. What looks like foolishness to the world is really life with God. A life of great worth can never lose its value. And so to borrow a phrase from my friend Mel Fisher here and tweak it just a little bit, I want to leave you with this. Today is the day. Today is the day the treasure might be found in your life or the lives of those around you. Are you willing to look foolish for the sake of that treasure? Are you willing to look foolish for the sake of that treasure? This is what the parable has for us today. And I ask that God's wisdom find you wherever you go. Let's pray.